Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Good morning, everyone. I hope that everyone is having an awesome Sunday so far. I know here in the central part of the States, it's here in Houston, it's about 7:30 a.m. and it's, well, for Houston, it's cold. I would have to say it's in the 50s. Can you imagine that being cold? Great place to live, and I'm enjoying it because we get about, well, maybe 2 weeks of that all winter long. So anyway, great show lined up today, and I know the people that listen to me every week hear me say the same thing, but I got to tell you, God just keeps blessing us here with these guests that come on and are sharing things that they're doing for others around the world. Now, today, we have two gentlemen on the show today, two different guests that are in the music world. And I don't know about you. I love music. I love singing in the car where no one can hear me. I like worship in church. It just gets me going. I found myself listening to more Christian music in the last 4 years than I ever thought I would. Great way to get your mind clear, especially if you're on your way to work in the morning or road tripping. I just spent the last 2 days. I got in last night from Dallas. It's about a four-hour trip from Houston. And what a great way to just to listen to music, clear your head, get a plan together. It just really works well for me. So I want to talk about something real quickly before we bring our guest up today. I had the pleasure of spending some time in Dallas. A good friend of mine went to a couple events up there of something that we're involved in. But here's what I'm talking about. I had a chance to hang out and just have conversation. Conversation that we never get a chance to have because it's more than just the two of us in the room. Conversation about the Lord, how weak we are, what we seem to struggle with, and what God seems to do for us. Now, it's amazing when you sit down and think about all the things you think you're struggling with, and then you look how the things work out. And if you're willing to look at the way things work out, it's amazing the things that God does in your life. So my point to this whole thing is take some time out today, sometime today and tomorrow and every day, if you can, it'd be great to think about some of the things that you've been through, how you got through them, and why you think you got through them. Think about the strength that the Lord gives you if you're willing to use it. And I'll tell you, if you could just write down one thing every day about that, you'll find at the end of the week you have created a way for you to lean back into the Lord every time something goes the way you don't want it to go. Excuse me. And what I like to challenge people to do is to make sure that you, we're always told to get in the Word every day, whether it's first thing in the morning or last thing at night, you know, have a conversation with God, just make sure to share His message, but to try to my challenge to you is to try to live the mission. Try to really use what you know you're supposed to do. Now, I got to tell you, that's a hard challenge. I struggle with it every single day. I get up and read first thing in the morning, and I'm super excited, ready to go for it. But 2-3 hours later, it seems as though things creep into my world that make me forget about the path I was on. So therefore, I mentioned writing it down. It's a way to recognize what you forgot. And sometimes we just need that little nudge to remind us of what we forgot to move forward and to move forward the best we can. And there's no way we're going to get it right. We weren't designed that way. But if you could start out your day with a smile and figure out how to put that smile back on your face during the day when things aren't going your way, it just seems to make your day go better. Your family will want to be around you, your friends, and even strangers will be drawn to you. So give it a try. See what the Lord can do for you if you give him a chance. Okay, so my name is Tony Gambone. We're here at Tough Talk Christian Radio, And I have two great guests, Richard Lynch and Eddie Mann. And I mentioned I'm in Houston, but they're from my neck of the woods. They're from the Northeast. One's in Ohio, one's in Philadelphia. And those of you that follow the show regularly know that I grew up outside of Philadelphia. So I'm super excited about that. And these are gentlemen that are bringing the word in a different fashion. They're bringing it with music. So super excited about this opportunity. So what I'll do is make sure that I get everybody the opportunity to connect with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find me on Facebook under Tony Gambone. You can find me on Twitter under at Tony Gambone or TTR Network for the radio shows. And you also, if you would like to be a guest on the show, we'd love to share what you're doing out there, how you're helping others get through their days. Go to toughtalkchristianradio.com, register, hit the button to be a guest. It'll allow you to register and pick a date that's available to fit your schedule, and we'll be looking forward to that. Also, if you know someone out there that's struggling, have them tune into the show. You can find previous recordings there. I have found that this show has created an avenue, not just for me, but for others to lift themselves up sometimes, to recognize that they're not the only ones going through the struggles they're going through. And in today's world, you know, we go through a lot of struggles. Dark places a lot of times, like the news, it's just crazy out there what people are doing. So I hope that you'll share with us some of your stuff and share with others as well. I'm going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to bring up my first guest, Richard Lynch, who is an American country music artist. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back. See, I told you it wouldn't be that long. My name is Tony Gambone, and we're here on Tough Talk Christian Radio. And we're part of the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're interested in any of our other shows, we do show on cryptocurrency, something new coming out in our world. Actually, it's been around probably since 08, 09 with Bitcoin. Also, we have Workshop Wednesdays, where we sit down with business owners and we help them work out how they can become more successful in their business. And then there's Tough Talk Christian Radio as well. If you're interested in being a host of your own radio show, well, that's something we work with you on as well. So, hey, connect with me, okay? Personal email, tony@tonygambone.com, or just go to toughtalkradionetwork.com as well. My first guest, as I mentioned, is Richard Lynch. He's an American country music artist who has compiled a long list of country hits and chart toppers in the world of traditional country music. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I was never a fan of country music. My father used to listen to it when I was a young man, and I moved to the West Coast for 20 years, and now I'm in Houston for almost 20 years, and I am quite the country music fan now. It's just funny how that works, but I'm super excited. So without wasting any time, I want to bring Richard up to the show. Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Tony. I appreciate you welcoming me on today, sir.
You know, I mentioned that my father, you know, who always listened to country music, I just couldn't get a grip on it. And I'm going way back. He would have been 90 if he was still living today. But as I moved to Houston and I came here kicking and screaming, I found that great music, great messages. And before I got really heavily into Christian music, this was what I was into. So how did you find your way into country music?
Well, I was kind of born into it. My dad was a great country music singer, entertainer. His name was Woody Lynch, and he played all over the Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky area. And I was born on an old farmhouse, in an old farmhouse on 100 and some acres, and we had a lot of chores every day. But some of my biggest and earliest memories is waking up and hearing country music on the radio. And I was born in 1962, so we're almost the same age. And so, but I was mesmerized and captured at an early stage with the fact that my dad played this music that I heard on the radio. Something that really amazed me was that, you know, my dad would be playing with these people like Porter Wagoner and Bobby Bear and Glenn Campbell. I thought, wow, this is so cool. And at my grand old age of eight, he grabbed me and threw me up on his stage, and I got to entertain. We did my first song with him and his band. I did an old song by Buck Owens called Tiger by the Tail, and I was bit really hard by the country music bug at that age. So
that's awesome.
Something that I've always loved.
Now, do you have children?
I have a daughter that just turned 30, and I have a have three granddaughters, and actually have one little grandson. So we got plenty of grandkids running around.
Now, is your daughter is she involved in music in any way?
You know, she can sing, she can do, she loves the music, but really she's chose, you know, a profession that not necessarily as demanding. Well, maybe it is demanding. She's into the nursing thing. So, yeah, I guess it is just as demanding, but she's seen how, you know, we travel the road a lot, and there's a lot of things that you have to entertain, and you have to be willing to entertain even though when you can't entertain. So some things are rougher on my industry than some folks. So she's chose the medical industry, and I'm really proud of her for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a well-needed profession as well, and very challenging, I would think, because you can, it's just hard. You can fall into what other people are going through pretty easily. She could probably write some great songs with the experiences that she's had.
Oh, absolutely. Just being around the music industry enough, and she still comes around, and we'll sing every now and then together. So that's a great that's a great day for me when I get to grab my guitar and pick and sing and with her and the grandkids, because that's how I was raised. You know, my dad would grab a guitar. Us kids, I'm the oldest of six, we'd sit around and sing songs with Dad, and that's one of my best memories as a kid.
Hmm. Now, I've read in your bio that, and I want to mention, you're in Ohio, and
mm-hmm.
you said that you grew up on a farm, and I'm reading in here that you were a designer and builder of many barns, all different types of barns, and you're recognized as an American farmer. What does that
mean?
Yes,
sir. Well, I mentioned I grew up on a big farm in southwestern Ohio, and I was the oldest of six kids. Well, if you grow on a farm, there's always chores to do. There's always maintenance to do. And at a young age, my dad showed me how to use a hammer. We were stretching fence and stretching lines. We were taking care of livestock. So I was very fortunate that I could grow up at a time where I could learn a lot of different things. And the fact that I grew on a farm, you know, there was always maintenance to do. So Dad showed me a lot of things, and I was interested in everything my dad did. And so, you know, I grew up on the farm, and then I just always determined that at some point I'll have my own farm. And so the music has always been part of me. I have a farm currently. We raise horses and donkeys, and we raise a lot of hay. And we play country music here on this farm. We have a big old barn that I built. And we'll do three or four, maybe five shows a year. And we'll have some country music right here on our farm. But I guess you could sum it up by the fact that I grew up hard, working a lot of things, and a lot of responsibility, and the fact that my dad showed me a lot of things in my life I'm really fortunate to have that in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that as you go back in time of you know, into the 50s, 60s, 40s, 50s, you know, all these different years, things were different back then. Children grew up on a farm with their dad working, and then, you know, they came into factories and businesses, and dads were gone, and there was a different life environment, and you know, and I'm not saying that a child was perfect because they were raised on a farm, but they knew the value of hard work, and it seems like they would just led a different lifestyle than well, what's going on today? You don't see many people, or I don't get to interview many people that grow up on farms. And so do you think it's just because I'm not in that community? Is that still going on? Are people still getting to work with their dad and learning how to do different things like that?
There is some, and I know a few folks that, you know, have that connection with the farm life. But, you know, the urban sprawl, there's a lot of farms that don't exist anymore, and that's sad. But, you know, the folks that are introduced to 4-H at a young age and get to deal with animals and just responsibility, the young folks that get to deal with responsibility, as a rule, tend to be better folks because they have so much responsibility and they learn what real life and death is. If you're on a farm, you get to experience cows being birthed and cows giving birth to dead cows. And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things that aren't necessarily pleasant, but it's still real life and real life scenarios. And the way you can, you know, a kid can learn is experience the good and the bad. And to me, I wouldn't trade the way I was raised for nothing, even though back then I didn't think I had it that good. We were poor, didn't have a whole lot, but we worked a lot. So I remember going to school, catching the school bus and having maybe a little bit of cow manure or horse manure on my boots, and folks would make a little fun of me, but it's just the way it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's I think you had a really good point about learning about life and death because you're around things. I know that my boys went to a high school here outside of Houston, and they have, FHA, where they work with animals. And I know my one niece has raises chickens, and you know, I thought that was kind of crazy, but it's really a good opportunity. It really does something for children. It gets them. Well, it gets them off that phone for a few minutes, you know. So anyway, I want to talk about something you mentioned to me earlier pre-show that's really big in your heart, okay? And that is the Love Tattoo Foundation. Can we talk about that?
Yes, sir. My wife and I started a foundation called Love Tattoo. And the folks are wondering, what in the world is that? Well, I'll just start by saying it has nothing to do with ink. The Love Tattoo Foundation is for our men and women of the military who have served our country and they've came back with either a psychological scar or a physical, maybe bullet wound or something that has been dismembered one of our great members that served our country so well. And we thought that, you know, that's something we can do to give back a little bit. Myself, I received a poem from a gentleman named Chuck Brisbane, who lives in Virginia Beach, and he asked my wife and me if I could put some music to his poem, and I did, and I added a couple lines and actually added a chorus to his poem to create a song called Love Tattoo, and we're really, really proud of the fact that we can donate and do these all the proceeds that have came from this particular song have gone to a organization up in Michigan called the Will Win Lodge, and that's a place that our men and women of military can go and get in, you know, away from the city or away from their hectic life for a week or 2 weeks and observe nature, and they even have a, you know, some doctors, some psychological doctors, and different things that they can connect with that they need to be up there. But the funds and the money that we raise for our Love Tattoo Foundation has been going to the folks up there that can really deserve it, and I'm really proud of the fact that we can connect with these young men and women. And it's to me, it's a great way for us to give back.
It's a great story, and you know, I'm very thankful that we're blessed to have men and women go serve for our country, even though a lot of us don't recognize that value from day to day. We're busy in our own little puddle. But, I mean, just for all those people out there, it's just a big thank you. And we just hope God blesses them, their safety coming back and forth. But we do know that a lot of them come back way different than they went there. So I think that's awesome what you're doing.
Thank you, Tony. You also do
a radio show. I want to mention, if you go to the website, it's richardlynchband.com. You'll be able to find out everything about Richard. you're going to want to reach out to him. But you have a radio show every Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern time, called Traditionally Lynch.
Yes, we do, and we're proud of that.
Yeah, tell us how that got started.
Well, I've been playing in this music business since 1978, and I've always loved the fact that I love real traditional music, traditional country music. And, I've been in the music business for many, many years, and I've played all the honky-tonks, and I've done all the fairs and festivals. And so, you know, that being said, you can't just play just traditional music. So, you know, you want to be real diverse in the fact that we play for a lot of folks who are in and around the nightclubs and stuff. So, you know, you had to play a little bit of everything. But my heart's always been with traditional country music. I just absolutely love it. And we have seen that the music industry of today, the country music industry today, it really is not much country about it anymore. So we decided, and I'm not the only one doing it. There's some folks out there that are still doing it. But we decided that we would start our own show. It's called Traditionally Lynch. And for the folks that are missing the good sounds of the steel guitar and the fiddle and the three-part harmony and all the country songs that they grew up listening to, and they want to reconnect with something that means something to them, we decided that this hour show is for them. And there's a lot of new music being recorded out there that has all those wonderful, you know, wonderful aspects, all those different traditional sounds today that are not being played. So we focus on some of the older songs, but we also focus on some of the newer songs that have those great country, traditional country sounds that they miss so much. And so that's the direction we have gone, and we really just want to, you know, put some country music back into country music, I guess you might say.
Mm. So you stay pretty busy, Richard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I'm on your website, RichardLynchBand.com, and I'm looking at upcoming events. You have lots of stuff taking place. You do a whole Christmas thing. It looks like in the first week of December, you're doing live concerts and stuff. Is that just in the Ohio area, or do you travel around still and play in other areas?
Well, we've done 120-some nights so far this year, and we've played from Texas to Minnesota and from Maine all the way, you know, Iowa. I haven't been much further west than Iowa or Texas, I guess you might say, but we play all over the place. We're blessed in the sense that we can do our music and share our music with people that that have a passion for that traditional country. But you mentioned a Christmas show. We're doing that in the little town called Waynesville, Ohio, which will be, I think it's the first weekend in December. And people are thinking a concert in December. Yeah, it's going to be in a heated tent. So you think it's cold in Houston? Trust me, it gets cold in Southwest Ohio too.
Yes, sir.
But we're going to do a Christmas show here in a little town and share our music with the folks that love their country music, and they love the fact that we can do something for our community. We're very into helping folks, and the music has a way for us to share our help. And it's been well received all around the country, I'll put it that way. And I'm really proud. We've had a country song that's been charted 30 weeks this year at number one on the independent charts, Root Music. And it was called A Better Place. And for the folks that, you know, really like that sound, they could pull that up at just go to RichardLynchBand.com. And if you want to hear something about steel guitars and real country music, that's a good place to start.
Mm. Okay, and so if people want to donate to the Love Tattoo Foundation, how do they go about doing that?
Well, just go to our website at RichardLynchBand.com, and you can pull up the various websites and different social media spots there. You will see that there is a Love Tattoo Foundation there. One, you can contact my wife and do a direct donation with her. Or there's a way to just read on the website on how they can donate to help our men and women of our military. But it's pretty self-explanatory there on the web.
Okay. Okay, very good. And I hope that people will take a minute out to visit your website and to make a donation to the Love Tattoo Foundation because of what it stands for. this way to help our men in the military. Quick thing, is there a new album coming out? Mike, I guess my question is that's one of the questions I just got on Facebook. Is there a new album coming out? So I'll let you answer that, and then I got another question for you.
Yeah, we have a new album that we're putting together as we speak, and we'll either be in the studio late December or sometime in March, because we're going to be all over Texas in January and February. So
what part of Texas?
That's the short way. Mm-hmm.
What part of Texas?
We will be playing from the Harlingen area, which is just north of Brownsville, Texas, all the way up to not too far from San Antonio. We'll do all the Rio Grande Valley for 6 weeks straight. We'll do it all up through there.
All right. Well, I'm about, let's see, I think I'm 2 hours, a little over 2 hours from San Antonio. So I'm hoping you'll let me know when you're in that area that I can come and love to meet you in person, see what you're doing.
Oh, that'd be great, Tony. I'd love to meet
always
you.
Always love a concert, yeah. question for you, and I ask a lot of people this, but have you thought about writing a book, putting your story? I mean, because, you know, as you mentioned, growing up with your dad, getting up on stage, working on a farm, you know, kind of like real America, excuse me, and have you ever thought about putting that in a book so that that story can carry on for a long time?
Oh, you know, I can't say that I have, but, you know, it might be something that I entertain at some point in my life. To write a book about my life would probably take two books, because there's a whole lot that goes on.
Right.
Yeah, I would love to do that. There's something that I would need some help with, some direction. You know, I'm not the prolific writer, or so you might say, but, you know, I can write songs and that kind of thing. But, you know, that's something that I would love to do. I think I would.
Yeah, I think you'd be giving a lot of pleasure to people to understand, you know, what you've done and where you, you know, it just, to me, I just think it's important that our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren get to hear the story directly from us, not passed down, you know, like whisper down the lane. It kind of changes a little bit. And not because we're special, just because we want to carry tradition and let our children in the future understand their family in the past. So I think that's something that you surely have a great story. And just judging by your voice, you really enjoy what you do. So I think it would be a great book to read. So,
oh, thank you, Tony.
That
may be something we pursue. That's a great idea.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, well, Richard, we're up against the clock as far as time goes. But I'd like to ask you something that I asked all my guests is, if there was one thing that you learned from 2016 that you could tell people that they might take a look at, or, you know, a bit of advice, if you might say, what would that be?
Well, I would aim that towards the young folks out there. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that don't necessarily get opportunities, or their opportunities are few and far between. My advice would be just believe in yourself, believe in what you do, stay determined, and don't take no for an answer, and you will find yourself on the way of doing what you want to do and be a success in life. It's I'm proof positive that no matter how long you take or how long it takes you to get there, you just stay focused, and sooner or later you'll get where you want to be. And always thank the Lord for giving him and giving yourselves the opportunity. And I'm so thankful that I have a beautiful wife that supports me and good health. So just be appreciative of all your surroundings and make things happen.
Good advice. Very good advice. Richard, I can't thank you enough for taking time out with us this morning. I'm excited to know that you're coming this direction. I will be checking you out, and don't be surprised, because I always show up and get to meet you face to face. So if there's something you got coming, even when you're coming through Texas, if you want to come back up on the show, you got a standing invitation always to come and let us help promote what you're doing.
Tony, thank you, and to all your listeners, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and I know we'll cross paths out there and get to shake hands and hug necks and just be a great thing. I love it.
All right, pal. You have a great, blessed day, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the future.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with my second guest, another musician. He's a songwriter and a worship leader, a teacher, a speaker, a coach, a husband, and a father. He stays pretty busy, too. Eddie Manns is my next guest. So make sure that you go check out RichardLynchBand.com. Richard's doing some cool stuff. He's got a radio show. He's also got a involvement in an organization called Love Tattoo Foundation. Check that out. It's something that's really strong in his heart, and it's very helpful to our military, our men and women in the military. So check it out. We'll be right back after this short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back. My name is Tony Gambone. We're here on Tough Talk Christian Radio. And, you know, it's a beautiful day here in Houston. And it's getting better by the minute for me. I just got the pleasure of interviewing Richard Lynch. He's an American country music artist. And he's really been recognized as the American farmer as well. You can find out more about him by going to RichardLynchBand.com. Great stuff. And remember, if you missed it, Love Tattoo Foundation. It's a foundation for our military men and women. My second guest is a gentleman, as I mentioned, Eddie Manns, who is a musician, a songwriter. He's a worship leader, a teacher, a speaker, a coach, a husband, and a father. Now, that almost falls under the title of father, but we don't always make our way through getting to all those spots. So whether you know him as one or more of these people, you know in his heart, you know he's got a love for life. So I want to waste no more time, and I want to introduce Eddie Manns to our show and welcome him to our show. Eddie, welcome.
Good morning, Tony. Good to be with you this morning.
Now, Eddie, I'm looking, I get a cheat sheet. Everybody listening to the show has to wait for it to come out. But I'm looking, and you are from my neck of the woods. I grew up in a town called Norristown, Pennsylvania, and I believe that you live right by there. I know that I've seen you're going to be performing in Doylestown. I spent a lot of time in that area as well. So is that where you're from all your life, or is that just where you live now?
Yeah, most of the time I've been in the Philadelphia suburban type area. I was brought up in this area, and then I wandered away, as youngsters do. When I first started playing professionally, I didn't have a place to hang my hat. I was on the road a lot. And when I met my wife and wanted to settle down again, I settled back in this area. So I've spent the majority of what I would call home. You know, Philly's always been home. And we have a place down in Melbourne Beach, Florida now, too, that is a secondary home to us.
Mm. Yeah, it gets pretty cold in Philadelphia, so it is good to have a secondary home in that type of weather. So, Eddie, I grew up in that area, and, you know, I wasn't raised in the church. I kind of went here and there when we had to on holidays and stuff like that. And I noticed that you are you led worship for over 15 years. So did you grow up in the church? Is that something you found later in life?
I grew up my childhood home was like a 50s kind of situation show that they used to have where everything was just perfect. I never saw my parents fight, never saw them argue. You know, we lived comfortable middle-class life, and my parents were faithful people. So I was in church every week, and the seeds were being planted. And it wasn't until I kind of got into this music thing full-time, and I didn't, I don't know that I planned that. You know, I really
When I went to play full time, it was to get it out of my system. I figured in a couple of years it would be out of my system, and obviously a lifetime later, but that was who I was. After being out and performing for maybe 5, 6, 8 years, and met my wife, we were going to have kids, and right away, and I really wanted to be around my children. I didn't wanted them to know what I looked like. I didn't want to be out traveling all the time. So I went back to finish my education and became a teacher and had a season as a teacher. And during that time, I really felt led to teach in Christian schools for whatever reason. These seeds were really taking roots. And I was just, slowly being pulled back to the church. And it was actually during a prep time that I had a guitar with me, and I wrote this simple little praise song, and I had a little epiphany there all by myself that, this is what I should be doing. I couldn't wait to go home that evening and tell my wife what had occurred, that I realized that, I need to be writing songs for God's kingdom. And so I ended up recording a few early on, albums early on that were songs about the kingdom. And I got a call from a pastor that I had never met, from a church that I had never attended, who got a copy of a CD. It moved him enough that he called me up, and we were supposed to have a half-hour meeting. And 3 hours later, I had a title as worship leader, and I was starting, helping to start and lead two new services, one on Saturday night and one on Sunday morning. That would be a completely different musical presentation for people to reach those that weren't being churched. And I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I'd only, the job title really didn't have a full description at the time. It's kind of truly a work in progress. And truthfully, the first 2 or 3 years were not difficult musically, because I could have led a band in the dark at that point. It was no effort at all. I was schooled and had honed my gifts in that area. But I wasn't a spiritual leader. So it took me a good 2 or 3 years to really wrap my arms around what it meant to be a spiritual leader to the team that was coming out to support this ministry. Because up until that point, all the musicians I worked with were paid musicians. The expectation was a lot higher. And I had to understand that, I came to the point where I realized that if I could make them sound like they were getting paid on Sunday morning, I was doing my job. but I truly loved it. And only God would make me a sound, honed professional musician, put me through a season of teaching, and then make me a worship leader. And so I was really very confident in what I was doing. Because I had what I think was the perfect background for somebody who wants to do that. And it was a glorious season. I got to see those services grow, and I found it very humbling at times to be used in the way God was using me, but also enormously grateful that I had the opportunity to be that kind of an instrument in His kingdom. And I just... I guess it was only about a year and a half ago that I resigned from that position. My kids were older. I really felt the call to go out and travel more and play and take the ministry to the people, as opposed to having them come to me on Sunday morning. And it's been an adjustment. I love what I'm doing. I love the way that God's using me, both allowing me to play in secular places, and also I still guest lead in the area and up and down the East Coast a bit. And but it's the difference is the relationships that you build at being in one place for a long period of time, and the ups and downs, those hills and valleys that you go through with people. I was just telling someone the other day that I could go into the sanctuary and just sit on the platform on a Wednesday, and I could literally pray for my whole congregation, because we all sit in the same spot each week. So I could sit up there on a Wednesday and just see their faces in their seats. But now it's you know, I don't have that as much. Not that I still don't have those relationships, and I still see and communicate with those people a lot. But now I'm visiting and I'm meeting new people all the time, and there's joy in that too.
Yeah, it's almost hard to explain the pleasure that you get out of doing the things that God places you in that you never in your world imagined yourself being there. So I always call it that deep smile inside that you just can't even explain it. It's just a feeling that's hard to explain. Now, you have an album that just came out. I don't know, Eddie, do we still call them albums?
I do. I like to. I'm old school.
Yeah, me too.
As long as they call them good, I don't care whether it's an album or CD.
Very good, great answer. Yeah, great answer. But your new album is called The Consequence, and it says it's the follow up of 2014's Dig Love. So let's talk about Dig Love quickly, and then the follow up of it with The Consequence.
When I had resigned from the church and looked at what I was writing, I write all the time. I'm inspired all the time. I just find nature and life to just always be lighting a fire in me to write. So when it comes time to do the next album, I'm never searching for songs as much as I'm going through the past season and what I've written. And those songs always naturally reflect what you're living through. And when I gathered the songs for Dig Love, this common theme of trying to go back to an idyllic, peaceful view of the world and a much more compassionate view of the world, that was running rampant through the whole album. And I was just reflecting on what I saw happening in the world, that it seemed to me that we had gotten to a point that when people have one thing that they don't agree on, the conversation stops. There's no movement forward. We totally lose focus on all the things that we still do have in common. I really wanted the songs were written in that vein a lot, to try to get people to get over that. And, again, to have more of a compassionate view toward each other. And while I was supporting that and traveling around playing it, once again, I was continuing to write. And when it came time for The Consequence, and I went back and looked through the songs, I found that it really was the next step in the process. That if you wrap your arms around that idea taking a more loving stance toward others in life, you're still going to experience darkness. We're still going to have loss of life. You know, we're still going to have financial issues. That's what life's all about. Nowhere does the Bible tell us that, you know, once Jesus wraps your arms around you, you're it's all over. You know, there's no more darkness in your life. So this album, The Consequence, was a little darker in nature, in the sense that I kind of delved into some of those areas. And the underlying theme, I think, on The Consequence really is how the power of love gets us through all those situations. In my life, like everyone else, I've been amazingly blessed, embarrassingly blessed. I don't know how to explain what God has done in my life. But that still doesn't mean that my wife and I haven't experienced dark times. It's just that we know where to go for strength. We know where to go to get us through them. So that really was the underlying message on the album. And the song itself, The Consequence, was really just a statement about how, as followers, and we hold ourselves to a higher standard, at least we say we do. While we're doing that, people are constantly watching. And the way I look and the way I speak and the way I react to situations in my life are going to speak much louder than any chorus on my songs. So if I'm reacting and speaking and intermingling with people in a faithful way, I have the opportunity to sway a lot of the consequences in my life. And I never have complete control of them, but I do have the opportunity to sway them just in my own view of the world and the way I'm going to react to things. And that really was the core of what the song and the album was about.
So something that you said really, I try to write something down from each interview. And you said that you were embarrassingly blessed. And I think that's an incredible way to express it, because when you're telling people how blessed you were for something, it is almost embarrassing, because, I mean, it's just, I don't even know how to explain that, but I'm telling you, I'm stealing that line. I like that, embarrassingly blessed, because it really does explain a blessing, you know. And as you mentioned, just because you come to the Lord, you give your life to Christ, doesn't mean that everything's going to smell like chocolate and roses, you know. If anything, it might be a little bit more challenging because you did give your life to the Lord. But if you can build that faith and trust with the Lord to lean forward towards, it will help you get through those dark places and develop that embarrassing blessing, you know, that you feel. So I think that's awesome. Eddie, I'm on your website, and I want to make sure that we say this, that you got to go to Eddie Mann. It's EddyMann.com. Now, pal, you're a very talented guy. I mean, music seems to be something you did at a young age. Maybe you got a little piano there, shows a picture of it at Christmas time. But what about the art? You're a painter as well?
No, I would die to be able to paint. It's probably the grass is greener on the other side thing. As I said, I write all the time. I find myself in a place where I seem to be easily inspired. And the closer I get to God on my journey, the more I see Him. So the more naturally I'm going to be inspired. So I got into a little bit of photography, and I wouldn't call myself a photographer, but I like photography. over a period of time, I found it was one of the few things I could do that would kind of break the routine, the creative routine that I normally live in. I initially did it just to get recharged and re-energized and get away from the songwriter that was in me. And of course, there's always that moment when you frame the shot and you go, oh, there's a song there. it still has a way of crossing over. But what happened over the years is that I tend to, because I'm not schooled, I tend to view things in a personal, just natural way, and I may view things differently than others do, and I may see shots and frame shots differently than others do. I had a lot of surrounding friends and support team that just said, you know, you really ought to make these part of what you do. That people like these a lot and would like to have them. And it took a lot of coaxing. It's been, I think what happens when you're doing something like that, I didn't want that to become anything more than what it already was. I mean, I didn't want it to become a machine type of thing. You know, I didn't want it to become like the songwriting and music thing is. It's a lifestyle. It's the way I make a living. It's the way I support, you know, my family. I wanted to kind of protect it in that way. But it's worked into a nice little niche right now where it's, you know, there are certain venues where I can bring out some artwork. And for me personally, it's all tied together creatively. You mentioned painting earlier. When I go, my wife and I like to go down to the Museum of Art in Philadelphia, and I could spend hours in there, again, just writing. I look at a painting and I just you know, my mind just kind of runs wild, and I just see this story. You know, I see this, the sun appearing in between the brush strokes. It's just, you know, that's just how my mind works. So I enjoy, I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. I love the live process of taking it. I also love the live process of bringing the artwork back into a digital format and working with it there. A lot of times I take shots that don't work and create from there. And I think that was probably an outgrowth of my 15 years in the as a worship leader, where I was also doing the graphics each week. No one else could do it. I started dabbling in it, found out that I loved also working in that media. So it's tied together, like I said, but it's got its own little niche on the side. For me, it's more of a way to escape for a few minutes from the songwriting and the musician part of my life.
I think it's awesome that you're able to do that. And I know that, you know, being a worship pastor, I'm sure you felt that you were feeding the congregation as well. And it seems like doing photographer kind of allows you to feed yourself again to feed others. So I think it's cool that you do that like that. And the way you explained it, a lot of people are running in a circle trying to find their cell phone most of their day. And I think it's just cool that you have found your path and you're using it to help others through music as well. So I just can't say thank you enough for doing that and sharing it with everyone. Now, I want to, you have, as I'm reading here, two daughters?
Two daughters,
and,
yes.
And are, do they play music?
No. My younger one is my younger one that has all the creative genes. She's just a recent graduate of art school. She's a web designer. And while we were away, we just released the album you were talking about. We released the Consequence on November 8th on Election Day. And I had taken the beginning of October, I did a little mini tour through Virginia, North Carolina, and Nashville. And we were on our way down south. I wanted to just lay over in Florida for a little bit, just again to recharge. And I'm just becoming more and more conscious of my own health and my energy levels. So I went to Florida to relax and just kind of re-energize. And while I was down there, my youngest daughter was house-sitting and sent me a picture one night of her with a guitar again in her hands. And it just kind of lit me up. I was excited about that. But she's become my graphic arts kind of cohort. You know, she helps me out a lot with those things. Whenever I have a question of it, I know who to go to. Now I got her. She kind of works in-house, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. very good.
But she's written a lot of poetry and all, and it would never surprise me for the bug to just really take root in her. I think it will at some point.
Well, Eddie, I asked all my guests this. One of the things I'd like to ask you today is, because we're up against the clock here, is in this year 2016, and I think it's kind of crazy that your album came out on Election Day and the title of the album, I think that couldn't have been planned. But what is a piece of advice that you would give people out there that you've recognized in this year, 2016, that might be helpful to them?
Wow. I think I touched, maybe what I touched on earlier, that we were not created to be exact replicas of each other. And it seems to me anymore that we don't embrace that idea. We don't embrace what's different about us. We actually use it in a negative way. Maybe we've moved into a world where we want everybody to agree all the time with what we think is right. That idea that, you know, that if you and I don't agree on one aspect of life, you know, that's just the starting point for us to have a relationship together and grow and challenge each other. not something that should divide us and make us go to, you know, opposite directions. We just live
Amen
in a world
to that.
You know, our news networks, they don't give us information to make decisions. They tell us what we should think.
Right.
And we're not even, you know, there's parts of our brain that we're, you know, they're not even using anymore. So, you know, I really encourage people to, again, you know, embrace all the things that are different about us. You know, this is, you know, one of the greatest joys that God gave us. It just seems like the world's screwing that up. Just because, I guess the world itself is telling us that it's wrong as opposed to, you know, what God's word tells us. So I beg people to embrace all the things, all the different things we have in our world, all the different thoughts that people have, all the different kind of art that we have, all the different voices that are speaking, and pray. Pray that, you know, God's will is actually what's going to happen in the world. Pray that for clarity that God's will happen in your life, you know, not the world telling you what's supposed to happen.
Amen to that. Yeah. Eddie, you couldn't have touched it better. I just did a bit on, I think people have the freedom of speech and they should be able to, these young kids should be able to do everything in their power to exercise their rights. But, you know, I think that we made a mistake a while back where everybody, the winning team and the losing team, got a trophy. So it might have been the turn that we took, you know, so that might have caused some problems.
Tony, that might take me another half hour, man. As a coach, you know, I was an educator and a coach when it was smacking me in the face every day what I was going through. And I just saw it, and I was afraid of it. And I feel like now I'm actually starting to see the results of that generation not being able to handle not getting their way, things not working out. They don't know how to lose.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, and as parents, you know, people go, well, that's just, you know, I mean, I don't understand what they're trying to do. Anyway, you're Eddie, I think it's a 3-hour show, but I really do, and I just hope and pray that my grandchildren, you know, will find their way past Google for information, maybe read a book,
Amen.
Something called the Bible. You know, I have children that are in their young adults, and I tell them, if you're challenging the Bible, read it and prove me wrong. Just prove me wrong. Take time to read the whole thing, you know, and then be careful because you might become a pastor. Who knows?
There you go.
But, yeah.
Well,
anyway,
you know, as grandparents, that's our job. That's we'll keep doing that. We'll keep teaching them. We'll keep planting the seeds.
It's the only reward you get from having children. Is to be able to give, you know, I mean, that's, to me, you get to a certain age before you understand the value of all the mistakes you thought you made. They were just learning lessons along the way in life. So I just hope that people will take time out and explain, if your child's getting a trophy because they lost, the process of that. Eddie, I can't thank you enough for spending time with me today. I hope that we can have you back on the show when the next new thing's coming out in your world. Hope you have a blessed week, I'm very thankful for you sharing your time with us this morning.
I appreciate it. Enjoyed the time. Enjoyed the conversation. Enjoyed the support. We'll continue being out there praying for your ministry here too.
Thank you, Eddie. We appreciate it. I'm going to have to say goodbye now. Folks, we're up against the clock, and I just can't tell you how blessed I feel for Richard Lynch and Eddie Mann to join us today. We took a different path with our show today. It was all about music, and I can tell you, it's just a good way to start your day. So if you're in your car listening, or you're sitting by your computer, when the show is over, go find a Christian song or just some music that makes you happy and enjoy your day. And remember that advice that I gave you, okay? Well, maybe it was a combined effort. It's not all about the winner and the loser getting a trophy. It's about being able to agree to disagree and start the relationship from there. My name is Tony Gambone. Once again, I'm blessed to be able to do this on Sunday mornings. Hope everyone has a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.